So let me get this
Cross-eyed.
straight. I'm going to make a list here. So number one, go through a breakup, you're heartbroken, you're depressed. I just want to make sure I'm clear on this, guys. Number one, don't train. Number two,
drink. Use a depressant.
Number three, right. Hold on. Number three, bang her sister.
Should be number one, but whatever.
Anybody. This doesn't really matter.
So, okay. I'm regretting bringing this topic up now.
If she has a couple sisters, bang the ugly one.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Christmas episode, which is actually, you're seeing this after Christmas, of Blood, Sweat, and Gear with Skip Hill and S2H. Today, we're gonna talk about message boards. Skip is planning a revival. Then we've got a listener who's going through a breakup. We've got some fitness advices for him. Then a bunch of listener questions. We're going to talk about off-season orals, which is best and which is worst. Easy off-season foods to get in. One guy's experiencing insecurity on Deco. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Masteron, Proviron as an anti-estrogen. Plus a bunch more, guys. It's all happening on Blood, Sweat, and Gear. We're going to do it right now. So, guys, this is Christmas. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about today. But first of all, are you ready for Christmas, Scott? Are you ready to do something? You ready for Santa?
Oh yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Clearly, yeah.
Not really, but you know. Yeah, I mean, we do the same thing every year, so it's nothing bad, nothing good. You know, just whatever, same thing.
Skip.
I just think that you're leaving out the Jews and the Muslims, and I don't think that's very nice. And the atheists, too.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy. I'm sure someone's getting mad now. Fucking asshole saying happy holidays. Not even American over there. This country was founded on Christianity.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Matt Marshall. He just chimed in to say, hey.
And I'm curious, Scott, how do you know that the 10 listening were 10 of the 12 that were listening to begin with? It could have been 22. Maybe we lost the first 12 and gained another 10.
That's possible, man. But
it's very possible.
It is possible. We've got a good hard dozen people watching now. I my nephew, he's like 8. He texts me every once in a while.
He's watching.
Yeah, he's one of them.
He texts me every once in a while. And he texted me this morning, and he was like, hey, Uncle Scott. He was like, I just wanted to say hi real quick. I'm going to call Grandma. And I was like, oh, hey, buddy, how you doing? I was like, you ready for Christmas? And he wrote back, meh, M-E-H.
Really?
What? Meh? And I was like,
at 8 years old?
I was like, well, are you at least ready for presents? Santa? And he said, now, I don't know if any kids are watching. If you are, cover their ears right now. He said, I know that there's no such thing as Santa.
Come on, there's Santa.
Wow, that's what he said to me.
You can get one GPS.
At 8 years old.
Wow.
What do you think about that? Skip, you had kids.
Yeah, at one point.
Both you guys have. So, Skip, how old were your kids before they stopped believing in Santa?
This is how I approached it. Because, you know, eventually they come and they go, you know, and they're kind of testing the waters. They're like, I know there's no Santa, Dad, or Mom, or whoever. But anyway, usually it was me, because they didn't like their mom. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. I'm trying to think if she could be listening. No, she can't be listening. And I just always told them the same thing. It was the same rehearsed thing all the time. And it was, if you don't want to believe in Santa, you have every right not to believe in Santa. But if you don't believe in Santa, he won't bring you any presents on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, them motherfuckers believed, and they kept believing. And because we had a very, you know, I mean, our oldest now is like 27 and our youngest is 15. So we had a pretty big spread with ages. So the older ones were good enough and they were tight enough and, you know, with each other as friends and stuff to be able to keep it going even when they didn't believe. So they didn't ruin it. Like little fuckers, because sometimes kids do that.
Oh, yeah.
They get mad at you and they go, well, there's no Santa. Oh, my God, no, it's not true, Dad. So it's so sad. Because, you know, one of my kids' name is so-and-so. Said that there's no Santa. You're like, oh, I'm going to fucking kill you, bitch.
It's anyway. Not funny. I went up to a friend of mine's, was the other day, his daughter was with him. She's probably like 4 or 5. And I said, what's Santa going to bring? She goes, there's no Santa.
Oh my God! Yeah, that's kind of what I had.
Then this other little kid rolls by, a little friend of hers. He's got to be about 4 or 5. He goes, yeah, there's no Santa. He just keeps on going. I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't remember my kids. I mean, probably because we lived in a trailer and we didn't have a freaking chimney. They probably figured it out pretty quick that Santa wasn't coming.
There was no internet. That's the issue. We didn't have all that type of shit. Honestly, you could play those things out, I think, more before kids started to get more into the technology thing and talking with other kids. I mean, you know, you can get into all sorts of shit from religion to atheism. So I didn't know anybody who was fucking atheist. I don't even think I knew any fucking gay people.
Yeah, we had like one Jehovah's Witness. One Jehovah's Witness, and that was, you know, one other thing. And I just thought about this yesterday because we were talking about like elementary school. Me and Victoria and I and her sister were, you know, we're from the United States, so obviously now you guys used to do this. I don't think they do this anymore. You guys did the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag every morning? Did you do that every morning?
Yeah,
every morning.
They don't do that anymore. They don't do that now, do they? I don't think they do. Do they?
They do.
But it's being challenged as far as. I mean, listen, if you just take this at face, and I know I'm going to piss somebody off with this. I have no problem with the Pledge of Allegiance, for the record.
Yeah.
But if you just take it at face value, and you're watching a film of, like, say, Koreans, all kids, seriously, like repeating this all together, like this pledge of, you know, about how their government is so awesome.
Every day.
Exactly. You know, you look at it and go, oh, they're fucking brainwashed. Really?
Right.
Well, we had to do the Pledge of Allegiance every day, but because it's so routine and it's so, I don't know, it's just so, you do it forever and you just think like, that's what you do. Don't, you know, it needs to be done. You can't take that out of there. You want to take that out of there because it has God in there. I don't know. Maybe it just isn't needed. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, obviously the Koreans would be North Korean if we hadn't gone over there and saved their ass too. Well, it's a whole other discussion you can have.
It was an arbitrary, I just happened to choose that.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm just saying, I'm just bringing up a point there.
Right. Yeah. But I'm just saying, when you see a group say America. Something like that, kids, you just tend to think, oh, my God, they're brainwashed. Right? But yet every classroom said it every day, first every morning. And that's just what you did in elementary school. And I don't think it's necessarily bad, but I question whether it's really needed when people start freaking out because it's being, you know, one person who wants to challenge it and sue the school district for doing it. Then you got other people who are freaking out saying basically, well, if they don't do it, you know, we're all going to go to hell and these kids are going to be rotten and they're not going to know how to act. Really? Like, what the fuck? Like, those are some pretty extreme viewpoints there. Maybe we could meet in the middle. I don't know.
Maybe every kid should get back on their desk for the atomic bomb drill. Did you do the atomic bomb drill, Skip?
No, I'm not that old.
Did you do it, Scott?
Oh, come on. Yeah, we had to do it. Huh. When I was in like elementary school, we had to do the atomic bomb drill.
Okay, well, let me just tell you something. If an atomic bomb hits,
we figured that out.
Yeah, getting under your desk really isn't going to do. Maybe it's going to make you feel better that you're going to be safe for about 5 seconds. It's not going to work.
Well, it was a good place to like pick on people in the class.
It's like when you're in
skirts
like,
and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like while you're on an airplane and they're talking to you about the flotation device or anything. If the plane's down in water, it basically incinerates.
Yeah, no, or like the hold your head between your knees thing that'll keep you safe.
Exactly.
Hey, we had a couple topics that we're going to cover today, and then we're going to try to cover some questions too. So, in case you haven't watched this before, Blood, Sweat, and Gear bodybuilding show. We do bodybuilding stuff, believe it or not, sometimes.
Eventually.
Dude, Scott, you missed it. Skip and I kicked complete ass, by the way, before I get to our... Let me tell you the topics first, and then I'll tell you that. So we have a couple things that we're going to talk about. Skip is going to resurrect the message boards. He's going to single-handedly bring the message boards back, A. And B, I was talking to somebody yesterday. He is dealing with a breakup. Breakup in the holidays, man. That's got to be like the worst kind of breakup there is. And I wanted to ask you guys advice for him and for anybody else, because I think we've all been through this, advice on maintaining your training, trying to do the best you can with your fitness and breakups. So that'll be our second topic, and then we'll get to some questions. But first, I got to say, man, Skip, you kicked ass, dude. You really did with the Nate Spear interview. I watched that back, obviously, because I edited it, but I watched it twice now. because I was editing it, and it was great, man. Like, you were so fun. If anybody hasn't seen that, check out the Nate Spear interview that Skip and I did at Think Big. It was good, man. That was fun. I appreciate you being there with me for that.
Pretty desperate promotion of the podcast there, Scott.
Also, mm-hmm. While you talk, I'm eating some food.
You got people going, I don't know. Scott just said it was
good. I'm not watching it. I can tell you that.
Yeah, well, I don't think
we'll there's no chance. That wouldn't even cross my mind. I actually just forgot what you said.
I was like, yeah, I know it's pretty good, but you know what? I'm not watching it. I might watch it and not tell him. I'm not watching it. I'm just not going to watch it.
Dude, you never watch anything that you're part of.
Ooh. You never watch anything that you're not invited to.
Wait, what?
I tried to say it with a straight face. I was trying to say you never watch anything you're not invited to.
You never watch
but
anything
then I
you're
thought about it. It wasn't a BSG show anyway. It was.
Well, now I feel left out. Not really, but you know. Anyway, go ahead. Back. Let's go to the breakup guy. Let's do something interesting.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. We had some this other stuff first.
Revising the message boards or whatever. Because I have a story behind that is going to be discouraging, but I'll bring it up as you go.
About the message boards?
Yeah, I'm gonna break some news to you.
Okay. Well, break some news to us. But first, I want to say, so Skip, you believe there is a demographic of people that are interested in the boards? I think that there could be. I think there could be.
I mean, there clearly is because not all message boards are done and gone. The True. Majority of them are because of, you know, essentially because of social media. But yeah, I do. I think that the younger generation is entirely, you know, Instagram and shit like that. And I get that. And they're not going to see much value in it. But what's happening is I talk to people kind of in my demographic, but kind of like 40s, 50s, things like that. You know, guys who had a history with message boards.
Yeah.
There isn't that exchange of dialogue, debate, discussion, that sort of thing on social media. I mean, even when you have it, it's done and gone and can't be referenced again, so you can't come back and get it. Like, even as early as a week or two later, it's too difficult to find. You can't. On a message board, you just go back. You can search. You can find it further down a page or the second page, that sort of thing.
Dude, even like Dante posts some amazing stuff. Just to back up what you're saying. But, like, if I go to Instagram to look at his post, he fills up the amount of characters he can fill up in an Instagram post, and then he'll make, like, 5 comments. But those 5 comments don't stay in order because when other people are commenting, the more popular comments get boosted up and the people who reply to those comments get boosted up. So then you're looking for like, okay, I just read 2. Now I'm looking for 3 and you're digging for 5 and 6, you know, and it's like it's hard, man, versus if there was just a link to a message board. I mean, I could see I'm trying to look for validity on where this could be a benefit. That would be a spot right there.
It's funny that you say that because he has to post and tell people not to post until he's done because then people's comments will be in between.
It happens anyway, though.
Finish it. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's just not a terribly, you know, user-friendly, you know, way to exchange dialogue. It's just not that great. So I think what has happened is the people that have the experience with message boards in our age demographic are starting to get frustrated because, and some people have said, well, what about Reddit? Reddit is the 25, 28 year old message board. I get that, but it's still not the same thing. It's still difficult. It's just not the same thing because it's too hard to reference. I mean, you can go back and you can find things easier by searching, easier than you can on social media.
Okay.
But when you have a demographic that spent so much time on the message boards to begin with and is so familiar with it, they're just going to want to go back to what they know and the familiarity of. And then there's another thing that you miss with Reddit, too, that you get out of message boards. And as silly as it sounds, it's still true. And that's the sense of community. And people who don't have a background with message boards don't understand this. But you every user builds like a sense of kind of a reputation.
Sure.
People know enough about that person to say whether they're respected, whether they're not, whether their opinions are, physique, knowledge, experience, everything. And on social media, the funny thing about social media is really what we're doing with social media now is there's no sense of community at all. And people are actually, as the years go by, people just stay on their own page primarily. And everybody, and they're only friends. See, this is one of the cool things about, I say cool because I'm being sarcastic, but one of the cool things about social media is, oh, if you don't believe like I believe, whether it's politics, bodybuilding, vegetarianism, anything, well, then fuck you. You're just, I'm not going to, then get off my page. I'm not going to friend you, or I'm not going to be your friend anymore. Well, then you just have a bunch of people agreeing with you all day. So if you have these people who don't go away from their boards, or they go to only, you know, two or three of their other friends, they're all on the same page. No, there's no debate. There's no dialogue. Everybody agrees with everybody and pats each other on the back that we're just the smartest motherfuckers and we know more than anybody else.
So less growth.
That's not dialogue and debate.
Less growth.
Huh?
Less growth is what you're saying.
And there's just no exchange of, there's no real exchange or dialogue when it comes to ideas or anything else. It's just everybody agreeing with everybody within your little tiny inner circle.
Yeah.
So with message boards, you don't get that. You have this huge community, and you can have dialogue. You can argue. You can debate. You can. There's just so much more to it, and I think that I do. I think, and I've gotten the feedback. I haven't really even gone looking for it, but I've gotten the feedback, and I have approached a few people within the last week. Some of them bigger, bigger names, and asked them, "Look, what do you think about this?" Because I am very seriously considering going back and, I, for lack of a better word, kind of resurrecting Intense Muscle, just to, because I haven't done anything with it other than I train my clients there out of my private forum, but there's a ton of, you know, information there.
Dude,
there's just not any traffic because it's just dead, like most message boards are these days.
I've talked to three people. I know two of them. I can't remember the third who it was offhand, but two of the three people I've talked to are clients that are currently sifting through the old posts at Intense Muscle now so they can read up. They're learning about DC that way. I could see this being good if it were on a, if it were on like a single board scale and you kept it tight and small. Like if there were too many sub forums and too many places too spread out, I could see it becoming a mess real quick and hard to keep up with. But if it was just like, if it was just like a place where I could like click on one thing and look at one page, I'd totally be down.
And that's why I say I'm in the process of considering, I'm talking to people to see if, hey, you know, if I do this, would you be on board with this? Would you be on board with linking, both ways, really. On social media, you post something and you link to the same information that you have on Intense Muscle.
Yeah.
And then when you, if you want to post something for a larger scale discussion where you can post long posts and explain things, and then link from Intense Muscle to your social media, they can go back and forth that way and one can fuel the other. You really won't, let's put it this way. Let's just say worst case scenario, you know, because there's a few things that I'll agree with. It's an antiquated platform in the sense that most would say it's come and gone. I don't necessarily disagree with that, other than the feedback that I'm getting is that there's still interest. It just may not be on the level that it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And I get that. But there's really nothing to lose in the sense that it's just, well, other than a little bit of extra time to have to post there or to link there. But we're all linking. I mean, I looked at my link tree the other day. We're all linking to everything anyway. What the hell's the difference?
Yeah. I think it's a good idea, man.
I don't want to sound like negative Nancy, but I'm going to. Because, so a guy I know has had, this occurred over the last couple of years. So he had a pretty big social media following. It's not in bodybuilding, it's something else. But so he had a private Facebook page.
It's gone,
Skip. For his company. And it was really interactive. It was you know, it's social media, but in a private form. Well, the problem was Facebook the algorithms and everything. It was nothing terrible, but you know how they go around and they censor shit, and then people would get banned for putting something stupid on that had nothing to do with anything. You know, it was just they didn't like the Facebook thing. So some of the guys were like, "Hey, why don't you?" Because he had a website for his business, and he's like, "Why don't you put a?" And I was one of them. I said, "Hey, have you ever thought about putting a forum on there? And they thought it over, and they're like, yeah. So they put a forum on there. It's a ghost town. It has no sub-forums. It's just one, basically one main forum. And so they got an app link for the web, for the site, so people could. First thing was, you know, you got to log in. Nobody wanted to do that. And then they got the app link that tells you when you get a response to your post. And it's still dead. And the reason being is because the interactions, people are, it's the way things are today. People want quick, immediate interaction response. And through a forum, you're just not going to get it. I look at forums now as like the national archives. So if people want information, they can go back into forums like yours, Skip, and find stuff. But I just don't see, I don't think forums, unless there's a way to, because you're not going to get the traffic and you don't have the algorithms designed to interact people like on Instagram that have like-minded topics they're involved in.
You'd have to know to go to it.
You'd have to go there. There's no algorithm that's going to send you there.
Right.
And I just don't think, I think forums are dead. I think they really are. I think they're good for a resource for information from the past, but I don't see the information, the access, and the speed of interaction anywhere near what it needs to be to keep people interested these days.
But here would be my counter to a couple things you said. Number one, you log in once and you stay logged in. There's also Tap-a-Talk. So I do understand that it's one more thing. But if it's not Instagram, it's Facebook. It's not Facebook, it's Snapchat. If it's not Snapchat, it's Reddit. We're signing into so much shit that I don't know that one more matters anyway. The other thing is I don't know that your friend, first, he started it from nothing. Intense Muscle has 15 years of information there.
No, he said this. His business, his website, his stuff.
I'm talking about strictly forum. All I'm talking about is strictly forum. And look, I don't know. I'm questioning. I don't know if he. You know, there wasn't a forum there before, and I don't know that the people in that interest or hobby or whatever the hell it is had a background and showed any interest in. Essentially, going back to a platform that they were
it was talked and announced about in the private forum. And I'll tell you this: in one day on that private forum, there was about 650, 700 different people interacting daily on the Facebook private forum. It was announced; it was put out way ahead of time. It was rolled out gradually. No, it wasn't a surprise to anybody that this message board was going to open. Once it opened, you had like six people on there a day. It went from like 600 to six, and it never went up.
Okay, well, like I said, I don't know what it will do. I don't know if it's going to be a great idea, if it's not going to be a great idea. But a couple things that I just want to mention about it, and I'm still in the process of talking to people to see if there is enough interest to do it, because I have to do a bunch of shit. I mean, it's upgraded and it's current and everything, but I have to go back and redo the visuals because I haven't done anything with it in a few years because the main focus is just my clients, and my clients don't really care that it doesn't look like it did for, you know, 15 years. So there's a lot of things that I would have to do. It's minor shit, but nonetheless, I'm not going to invest that time. And that's right. Plus I'd have to get somebody to actually run the back end and kind of admin it, because there's too many things that I don't know on the back end. That if I were to have problems, I don't want to have to try to figure it out myself because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I can handle minor shit, but I can't handle the bigger part of it. So, you know, there's a few, I got to get my ducks in a row if I'm going to do this. But the feedback that I'm getting so far is that there is interest. Whether that ends up, you know, true or not in the end, I don't really know. But it's something that I'm seriously considering doing here in 2020, and I'm, you know, taking those first few steps right now just to see what people think and whether they, like I say, whether there's enough interest there to get it going or not. It wouldn't be profitable, you know, for what it's worth. Profitable in the sense that, you know, I'm not doing it to make, you know, as a pay site, I'm not doing it to, you know, create banner revenue and things like that. All it is just trying to find that environment where you can discuss and debate and for people who want to do that. So, like I said, I don't know what Scott's buddy's friend was on the back end. I just don't know what his past was with it. But you know, Intense Muscle's been there for 15 years, so
I got two thoughts.
I'm basing this too off of my experience on message boards, which is pretty extensive. And I'll be first to admit, I was one of the ones involved in the conversation, and I was like, "Hey, you should try this forum," because they didn't want to get censored, they didn't want people, they wanted open dialogue, whatever. Not that it was anything bad. It's just, you know, Facebook, they censor the shit out of everything. And so I was like, yeah. And then, you know, it really just hasn't panned out. And it kind of dawned on me after about a couple months. I'm like, you know, it just, even for me personally, log in, you know, it's just not even log in, it's just the activity level is so slow. And the thing is that this person is still has a huge social media presence on Instagram. So I can just hit the Instagram on my phone, you know, the app, and everything pops up and it just flows right out there in front of me instead of having to scroll through a forum looking at stuff.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Let's just take Instagram as a good example. I mean, where do you see an exchange of ideas and discussion and debate on Instagram? It doesn't happen. Well, you see a bunch of,
depends who you follow. I mean, I don't follow morons, and I don't get into the, if people want to stay stupid, I mean, there's guys I know on Instagram personally that sometimes come out and say some dumb shit, and I'm like, and I might see him in person and go, you know, that was fucking stupid, dude.
You're okay, like, I'm not saying about what they're talking. I'm not talking about, you know, information. What I'm saying is, you, when we're done here, if you, whether it be tonight or tomorrow, you send me one account from Instagram, and an account that I can look at and see that there is dialogue back and forth, interaction on specific topics having to do with the industry, and I would be happy to take a look at it.
Yeah, but that's, I, the thing is, people are not into away that anymore.
I got something for you.
Let McNally talk, because I'm right, you're wrong.
Listen, I'll tell you what. Jordan Peters, he has a pay site, and they have a forum there. I know that John Meadows has a pay site. He has a forum there. And that people are staying up to date with that stuff. I know people who've worked at Jordan Peters' site, and they've talked about being on the forum and answering questions daily. So I know that it's out there. I know, here would be the thing, because I'm asking myself, well, what would I really use a forum for? Day to day when I'm interacting, honestly, I probably wouldn't go there a ton, but that's just because I don't have any reason to yet. If there was somebody there or somebody's there that were sharing really valuable information, then that would be the first place I went. Like I just mentioned Dante, okay? He had he made a recent post about hematocrit, and I had that issue. I went to go read the whole thing, and after I got through the first section, I went to go look at the next piece, and I have to find two, and then three, and then four, and then five, and people are commenting all in between. So it was a mess. And then I realized, oh, I could go to Facebook and I could find the whole thing. But if I could just click on one button and then it was on that first page of the forum, I would go there first because it would be easy. I could read it in one, maybe two posts, you know, depending on how long it was. Yeah. And I could just read it all there in front of me. So I would go there for that. And then number two, it would have to be an interactive thing where the person who wrote that interesting post would have to be there to kind of answer some follow-up questions.
Absolutely.
You know? So you're saying what I said, though, is that the forum still, like, even the one my buddy has, it's still got good information in it.
Yeah.
But as far as an interaction platform, like social media, or even close to that, I don't see it. I think it's a place where you go, you look at information. And this site that my friend has is a private site. It's paid. You have to be a member. But when you go there, you can get good information, and you can read articles, whatever. But you're not gonna get any kind of realistic interaction, like when RX Muscle first came out, dude, you could sit on there and you could post live for hours, for days with people. It was like nonstop.
It was addictive.
All that slowed down after a while, but I just don't see message boards being a place where people are going to interact regularly, and they're going to lose interest quickly and go right back to social media. Now, they are a good, but your board, Skip, is already a great source of archived information. I just don't know. I just caution you to be careful not putting money into it, because I have a hard time seeing where it's going to go back to the heydays of interaction.
Well, I don't want to give the wrong impression. I don't think it's ever going to go back to what it was. I mean, we were one of the places to be. I mean, you're talking about RX. RX came out when Intense Muscle was fucking killing it. We were, let's see, 04 to pretty much like 15, maybe 16, that started dying off pretty hard at Intense Muscle. But 06 through 2012, I mean, I sometimes will even laugh when if people tell me that they were on the boards during those times and they didn't know intense muscle. And then they say something like get big. I'm like, well, go figure. You would sit on a, I mean, that says a lot right there. So to not know intense muscle or muscle mayhem or professional muscle during those times, I don't know where the fuck you were, because nothing, I mean, other than maybe, you know, bodybuilding.com didn't even really take, I mean, it was there and it was active because it was big, it had a lot of members, but it certainly wasn't well respected in the industry for the people who hung out there. It was a bunch of 17 to 20 year old kids who didn't know shit about nothing.
Well, so Mesh's boards are kind of singular in nature. I mean, most people find one, if they find a home, when they find a home, they find it in one.
That's the sense of community, though.
Outside of the troll side of it, but I just don't think, I mean, this is just my opinion. I think you're going to struggle to get much traction.
But like I said, to get it to the point where it was, that isn't something, I mean, I would love to do that because I'd love to go back to how that type of interaction. But I understand that that's not possible.
Any more traction than you're getting now. I mean, I think it's going to be strong. I mean, I'm just saying, hey, dude, I wouldn't spend much money or any money on it. If you're going to upgrade it, you can do some stuff to it and do it without spending much financially, go for it. But, you know, they spent some money in this, and it's not really, there's not the traction, just not there.
Right. So, oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, this is how I'm sitting right now, honestly, and this isn't a shot at your buddy, but Scott makes a good point that it is happening, and there are interactive boards where there is debate, dialogue, and exchange of information. It's not happening on social media, and I have no idea if your buddy knows anything about the forums or how they run or whether it's even set up all that well.
Yeah, it's professional people that set it all up. Okay, I mean, it's not to do with how it's set up. It's just that
how long is it?
I've been on Jordan Peters' forum. It's got a bunch of great information. It's for me, after going through Instagram and stuff, it's kind of slow. Now, you're talking about a guy who's got a massive fucking following. I mean, probably one of the biggest in the world. And it's nowhere even close to what your run-of-the-mill bodybuilding forums were in 2009, 2011.
It's not even
anybody that's been on a board that's been really active would say that his board is dead. And I'm talking like daily interaction with people. And most of the time, it's, you know, he's got a lot of followers, so they might... He might post something like an article or an opinion or whatever, and someone will follow with a question, and then he might come back with it the next day or whatever. But the thing is that our brains, most people's brains now are so attuned to this boom, 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 boom information, this interaction, that the forums are tough.
You'd have to want that specific.
Boom, boom, boom information.
Yeah. You'd have to want that specific person even more than the topic, I would say.
Sure. But again, I'm not saying that there's not good information on social media. I'm saying that there's not an interactive dialogue about the information.
I think it depends who you're interacting with, too.
We're going to have to move forward, guys. So
I wish you the best, Skip. I don't know. I just saw a bad. It just woke me up with that other experience. So right. Think about it.
Yeah, I mean, just to wrap up my end of things, listening to it, I think it's a good idea. But I think Scott's probably right. It probably wouldn't be a bad idea to not invest don't invest a ton of money and time into it. If you could bring it around, I bet you that it would be successful. Of course, not like it was, but for what you want, I bet you that there could be a small revival.
I think it depends on who's involved.
Absolutely,
as well, because if there's not the draw of the information that people find valuable, then it's a no-brainer. Then it'll have no chance. So, like I said, it's the very early stages. I'm not 100% convinced. I'm in those early stages of talking to people to see who's interested, seeing how much interest is there. Because if I don't get the feedback that people are all that interested in doing it as far as contributing and posting information, then it's a no-go. But it is something, like I said, that I'm actively pursuing. The money I'm not as concerned about as much as I am the time.
Yeah.
Because money is time, time is money. So it's really no different. I'm trying to be careful. I won't put the time and the effort into it unless I feel like it's going to, the interest is there and that it's going to make, it's going to do something. otherwise I'll leave it the way it is and I'll train my clients there and continue to accept the fact that, you know, message boards died off 5 years ago, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm still feeling it out.
All right, cool. Let's move on, guys. We'll jump to a quick commercial break here. And when we come back, we are going to talk about maintaining your fitness through a breakup. And then we have a load of questions. We'll be right back, guys. Hey, guys. Why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. Skip Hill, S2H, Scott McNally. And, you know, I was starting to tell you guys, so I was talking to one of our listeners yesterday, and I felt for him because this is something that I've been through, and I think that everybody listening has been through it. We've all dealt with something that was really difficult emotionally and while we're training. He's dealing with a big breakup. He was dating this girl for years. I think he said 7 years, something like that. He's at that stage now where, like, he can't sleep really well at nighttime. You know, he's struggling. You know, I remember going through that, not being able to eat food years ago, not being able to like focus and stuff. My days just felt shitty constantly because I was dealing with something that was really big and I was heartbroken. You know, but it's just the way that it had to be. You get over it. And I got one piece of advice. It was from my coach. She told me, this is the advice I give to everybody, and then I want to turn to you guys and hear what you guys have to say too. The advice that was given to me was that no matter what you do, don't stop training. That if you can't eat food, you still go to the gym. If you can't sleep, still go to the gym. Just keep working out. No matter how crappy you feel, you're going to feel better after you get into the gym and you lift some weights. It doesn't matter. It might not be perfect. You know, you might not even grow right now, but it's going to help you through it. And I followed that advice. And I'll tell you what, it was huge for me because over time I started picking back up, you know, and I started feeling a little bit better. And then that whole thing starts happening where it's like, well, I'm lifting weights and I'm starting to get a little hungrier. Shit, I should eat more protein because then I might. And then guess what? I came out of this. It was like that, the whole like rising, you know, the rising phoenix from the ashes. I came out of it actually bigger and better than I started, you know, physically. So it was to my benefit in the end that I kept training. Helped me emotionally too, because it gave me something to do at night. You know, I got out of work and it's like, instead of going home and thinking about how I was now single, which this was one of those situations too. It was my decision. I was the one who broke up with her, and I didn't want to have to, but it's just the way it worked out. I knew it wasn't going to work out. And it sucked. It sucked for a long time, but you know, that's my story. And that's the advice I give to people. You guys have had to have, I mean, if not yourselves, I'm sure you've had clients too. I mean, I'm sure you've dealt with heartbreak. I'm sure that, you know, you've dealt with heartbreak while training. Skip, you've been married for a long time, so maybe you haven't, but I'm sure you've had clients that have.
Yeah. I mean, even being married for 30 years, I mean, we all go through shit and have difficult times too, where, you know, if you're not dealing with, you know, kids being shitty or fucking up, you know, even just your relationship itself, you have your ups and downs. But, you know, I'm, here's the thing. The advice you got worked really well for you, and I think that's great.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it that way. But that's just me personally. And I know that the reason I wouldn't do it is because it doesn't work for me. I'm an all or none person. I'm not going to go in the gym if I'm not eating. I'm not going to risk an injury because I'm psychologically not there. It's just, to me, it doesn't work that well. And and I'm being transparent when I just say, if I've got a ton of shit on my plate, I am more likely to skip a day of training or two, a couple days, whatever, than I am to force myself into the gym. I don't subscribe to that just because it doesn't work very well for me. But I do know that it does for some. And like you said, in your situation, I think it works. So, you know, my advice really is, you know, it sounds like a cop out, but it's individual because it depends on the person. For some, pushing through and having something to kind of distract you from what's going on and help to de-stress you a little bit for a couple hours.
It did all that for me. Plus the endorphin release. Cause I felt like I felt depressed, but I'd go in the gym and I'd lift weights and then I felt good. And then I started branching out too. And that's when I got into yoga. I started doing yoga and I never thought of myself as like a yoga person, but then you start like learning new things about yourself. Actually, I met a girl when I was doing yoga too. So there was that, you know, but
yoga, you're not in, it's not maximal effort where psychologically, if you're not there, you're going to potentially injure yourself either.
But you can train without that though too. I wouldn't say, hey, you know what? You should go in and you should PR every time, you know, just go in and PR now that you broke up. No, but you know, I you got to respect the fact that you probably, if you slept 4 hours, the fact that you're, you know, semi-dehydrated, but just get in there and lift some weights, and it might not be a good session. Hell, I didn't even want to go half the time, and then I get in and I get a pump, and then I'd start moving, then by the time I'm in my second exercise, I'm feeling good. And that's, you know, my quality of workouts were shitty, but I didn't expect it to be good. I just needed to get through it. You know, I just followed the advice. And like I said, though, I wasn't trying to PR. I wasn't trying to max effort anything. I was just doing it for therapy.
No, and I get it. I just feel like, you know, my time would be better spent trying to bang the next door neighbor or something like that.
We're on the same plane here.
I'd rather have that endorphin release than to go get a pump in the gym, quite frankly. But hey, to each their own.
Well, how about you, Scott?
I always prescribe the alcohol method. That works pretty good.
Yeah, and then, so you know, don't train and drink. This is the advice that we give on our show.
When you roll out of the bar with a $300 tab and some chick that looks like Jabba the Hutt the next day, 6 hours later. I mean,
oh my God.
I don't know. It's you know what? It's kind of a generalized statement. The guy's had problems. I mean, dude, you know what? There's only one thing that cures anything, and that's time.
Yeah.
Time. You know, everybody handles things different. I'm pretty. Stuff like that to me was like, you know, whatever. I just kind of went on, you know. Well,
has he done it? I mean, has he broken up with her? Has he? I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's done, right?
It's done. Yeah.
And I mean, he broke up with her.
Time.
I'm not sure which. I think that was the case. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He. Well, it doesn't matter how it happened. All I'm saying is that the only thing that solves that eventually one day it'll be better. Just takes time.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, go get drunk and try to bang your neighbor.
That's what I'm saying. It does matter, because if she broke up with him, he needs to go try to fuck your sister. You guys laugh, but a spite fuck does a lot for you psychologically.
If she's old enough
to have a daughter who's 18 or 20, I specifically said 18 or 20. That way nobody gets...
Just go on with your life. You know, you got to do what you got
to
do.
You don't have to bang the daughter. You just got to flirt with her and make your girlfriend think you're interested in her.
So let me get this straight. I'm going to make a list here. So number one, go through a breakup. You're heartbroken. You're depressed. I just want to make sure I'm clear on this, guys. Number one, don't train. Number two, drink.
Use a depressant.
Number three... Right. Hold on. Number three... Bang her sister.
Should be number one, but whatever.
anybody. This doesn't really matter.
So, okay. I'm regretting bringing this topic up now.
She has a couple sisters, bang the ugly one. Seriously. Because then you know how women look at each other like, God, you didn't even bang my pretty sister. You banged my ugly fat sister. Like,
do a really good job of it, too. So you're in demand.
Yeah.
You know, don't be like, I'm done. Get in there and be world class. That way you're in demand. You know, then she's like looking at her sister going, how could you leave him?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he had doggy style for like a half an hour.
a half hour.
And if there's, and, you know, worst case, if you can't find a gal, I'll give you Skip's wife's number. You can call her.
Yeah. And quite frankly, she's probably easier than the fat, ugly sister. Serious, too. Speed dial.
Boom. Yeah. Oh, man. That went bad. That went bad really quick there.
Hashtag
but eventually time will heal the wound.
That's the only piece of, I think, good advice that you guys had between the two of you.
I don't think that's fair at all. Or accurate.
It's fair. It's accurate. I mean, time could be relevant. If you have 9 to 10 years. I mean, it's
all of a sudden, Scott's being negative now. I don't understand.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to switch gears here, go to some questions. We have a would you rather question. I'll get to that one later. Okay. Measuring success in the off season. How do you measure success in the off season? I mean, I can think of a few ways, but
strength.
You pronounce that in a really unique way.
No, Skip. I don't. Now you sound like my kids and my wife fucking with me about everything I say.
You said it.
Florida, orange,
strength,
schedule, because that's British and I love to fuck with my kids and do that because it drives them nuts. And I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, that's not how you say it. I'm like, it is how my clients say it. Only your clients that are British or from the fucking UK or whatever else, they don't say fucking. Well, around, they don't. Yeah, they do. No, I'm just lying. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. They fuck with me about everything about that. I don't know why.
It's a pretty subjective question.
Okay. Well, how about you?
I actually know a guy. He would tell me, he's like, yeah, I had a good offseason because I didn't get anybody pregnant. That actually was what he would say.
That was a good measurement of his success in the offseason.
Like, I didn't get arrested in the offseason, so it was a good offseason. You know, so I guess it's subjective to whatever they think is a good offseason.
All right. I'll throw in some.
If you meet your goals.
What? Okay. How about strength? Strength. How about scale? Where does the scale fall in there?
If you can honestly assess your condition and you gain 8 pounds on the scale and you feel honestly that your condition is very close to what it was 8 pounds ago, then that's a good. You got tape measurement too. You can actually tape. You can use DEXA scans, which is pretty accurate in my opinion. One of the more accurate ways of measuring, you know, lean body mass to, you know, your body fat, but there's a few. The easiest, most simple one is strength progression. If you're progressing within bodybuilding rep ranges in strength, there's really no way that you're not growing.
I like that.
Now, to what degree and how much? I mean, then, you know, that could be argued forever, but there has to be growth or hypertrophy if you're progressing within bodybuilding rep range. And I say bodybuilding rep range because if you're progressing in low powerlifting rep ranges, you could, though it's difficult, to only gain strength and not have muscle growth. You could do it in very low rep ranges. You could increase your strength and have little to no growth as far as muscle, but not within bodybuilding rep ranges. It's just not going to happen.
But I think you can improve your physique and not improve strength-wise.
That I completely agree with. All I'm saying is if you do progress in strength, though, it's almost impossible to not grow, you know, or have it within bodybuilding rep range. But I agree with you completely. I've argued that till I was blue in the face with people who are so locked into the fact that they just say the only way to grow is by strength overload, progressive overload, as far as – and I hate that. It's one way, but it is not the only way to. And I've proved it wrong so many times. I just get tired of arguing. It's like fucking whatever. I just don't even care to argue it anymore.
Well, I'm not arguing with you, so.
No, we're agreeing. But I completely agree with you.
Next question.
All right. Let me see what else we got here. Like I said, we had a bunch of stuff. I put something up over on Instagram. We had the off season question. D-ball versus Anadrol versus Superdrol for an off season oral. Opinions from all three gentlemen. I guess this would almost be like I guess you could say either personal preference or what have you seen to be the, I mean, I feel like what's caused the most problems? Let's answer it that way. What's caused the most problems for either you or clients, be it health or side effects or injuries, whatever?
Well, you said it pretty much in order. D-ball.
A-bombs. A-bombs.
Yeah, D-ball. It, more than Superdraw?
Actually, I know. People, well, you know, Superdraw didn't really become a thing. A-bombs were the thing way before Superdraw ever
became. Yeah, no, I agree with that. But honestly, I see Superdraw.
Superdraw, for a lot of people, blood pressure-wise, I think, in my experience, were impacted blood pressure, water retention even more.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It depends on I mean, you're talking about what, you know, hey, can you take this? I can take, there's stuff that certain people can take that affect them at all, like no negative aspects to it. And there's other people that just buries them. So I would say just in general, D-ball, because also D-ball usually came in a smaller dose, tens or whatever. So, you know, you wouldn't be as impacted negatively by it. But I think Anadrol is the king of the three of them.
Man, I'm
results.
I'm going to go with Superdraw. I think Superdraw. Okay. Then I misunderstood. I thought you were saying the king of being the worst one, like basically
that's,
like.
No, results. That's what I was saying. Well, I was saying. Yeah, I was saying, what's the worst one? Because I mean.
Oh,
I,
probably Superdraw.
Yeah, Superdraw pretty much like. Superdraw is Pac-Man, and your liver is cells are the little dots. And you're on like the 40th stage. So it's going so fast you can barely keep up. It's that sort of thing. I guess waka 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 like that type of shit. I was trying to say waka waka waka, but I couldn't get it out. So,
but if you eat Anadrol like popcorn, it's not good for you either.
No, for sure. Yeah, no, no question. But and I love Anadrol, but I won't take Superdraw.
Scott, you took Anadrol for a long time, didn't you?
Yeah, way too much of it.
Yeah, like long, yeah, like long term.
A lot.
Yeah,
could wash it down like, with whiskey, like, so that was a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I was drinking it, beer with it and shit. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't even remember how much. It was so much. I mean, we're probably talking, and it was the only thing I was using for a long time. So we're talking like, you know, 6-7 of them a day, whatever.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You were taking 6 or 7 Anadrol a day?
Sometimes. There was no real consistent. It was a very consistent plan, Skip. It was just kind of like go with it, you know? Two or three.
I've never even done
100 milligram
before.
Yeah, I've done like 300, 350. Oh,
holy shit.
Yeah, it didn't end real well, let me tell you.
Is there a disclaimer at the beginning of this podcast?
There is now.
I was young. The country I was living in, it was legal. And you could get it. It was real. And it was dirt cheap. And it was everywhere.
Was it in a brown bottle?
No, it wasn't.
With a red label? No, it was not Turkish.
It was a couple different brands, but the point being is that there was no internet, there was no educate, there was just dudes getting huge, and you know how it is. Oh, dude, you're taking that? Let me take one or two more of those.
Yeah.
And while we're at it, let's go drink 24 beers and stay out till 4 in the morning.
Good.
And pizza. But you know, when you're like 20 or 19, and especially when you're physically challenging yourself a lot. You know, you kind of can get away with it for a while, but then my blood pressure went just like somewhere it shouldn't have gone.
At 20, yeah. You know, hanging out with you makes me feel so mature and responsible. I just want to thank you for that.
Yeah. It got so bad I couldn't lift because my headaches were so bad.
Yeah, I fucking bet.
I'd lay down the bench, and it was like I could knock out like 135 for like 25 reps or whatever, warm up, 225, get to like 10 or 12. It wasn't that hard to do. It was just like my head would start to hurt. Throw 315 on, knock out like 7 or 8, you know, not like I said, I was benching a lot and it wasn't that hard to do. It was just then all of a sudden my head would just go like it was going to explode right out the sides. And it would take an hour, 2 hours to try to get rid of that headache. Then what do you do with that? You take a bunch of ibuprofen and lay down and put a towel on your head, and eventually it goes away. And then you go drinking, which solves a lot of the problem, you know, that evening. And you're drinking, like, well, I'm good.
Drinking solves a lot of problems, from what I understand.
Breakups and high Anadrol use.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, it's real good for you. No, it was just stupid. It was stupid. I mean, I'm definitely not encouraging anybody to do it. It was just, there was no education. There was no magazines really. I guess there probably was then. I mean, you're talking, this is probably when, Haney was just starting to come on the scene.
Yeah, 83,
80s. Yeah. Mid 80s, you know, he was starting to become the guy. And so that was, you know, this was like maybe early Doran. No, it was before Doran. So Haney was really the only guy out there that was like, because Arnold and Ferrigno and all these guys were starting to, you know, Labrada was still there. The more aesthetic guys, Gaspari, those guys, but Haney was the guy, you know, at that time. So he was a big dude.
Exactly. I'll tell you who took a lot of Anadrol, and I can say this without, I hope he won't get pissed because it was public and everything else, and I don't mean this shitty, but the person who took the most Anadrol in the 80s was Tony Mandarich.
Yeah.
No question. Nice moves too. And he laid it out in Sports Illustrated and everything else.
I don't know who that is.
Did you check this out? It gets better. Player. But this is crazy. I just saw this the other day. Someone was saying, and I'm going to have to figure, I think it was Dusty Henshaw. He commented on this photographer that he really liked, and it said Tony Mandarich. I'm like, is that Tony Mandarich? Because it said Tony Mandarich, like State or Michigan State or something like that. And I knew him from Michigan State because I had trained at the Powerhouse up there, and this guy was a dick. Him and Percy Snow, they were dicks. And during that time, and I know he'd probably agree now that he's older and more mature, but I was like, what the, and Dusty's like, yeah, that's, I'm like, oh my God, that's a blast from the past. That guy almost fucking died. He had a lot of problems from the gear he took in the early 90s because he was drafted in the NFL, and then, of course, he didn't last very long because of those health problems. And I don't know if he had – I don't want to, you know, give out bad information, so I'm telling you, I don't know. It was something, if I'm not mistaken, that was kidney-related. It was something about – I don't know if he had kidney failure or whatever, but nonetheless, he got out of the NFL. He didn't last very long.
He was a first-round pick. He was a top-five pick. It was – that mullet he had that caused him the problem. Dude, he had the kick in his mullet ever. Remember his mullet, that straight down the side and the big straight flat mullet?
Yeah, I just did not like the guy. I mean, he was a go out of his way complete fucking dick to people.
It was the draw.
He probably didn't like you.
I don't know. I think he was just an asshole. And then you put gear. I've always said this about gear. If you're a dick and you take gear, it's like throwing gas on a fire. No one is nice and then becomes a dick when they take gear. Yeah. Now, you're not going to be nicer, but you're not going to turn into an asshole. If you say, oh, I'm a nice guy, but when I'm on trend, I'm like, no, you're lying to yourself. You're a fucking dick. You're just not as big of a dick until you get on something and you're dieting and you're depleted. And then you just understand, okay, I'm a giant fucking prick.
Yeah,
but anyway, that's another topic. The point is I thought it was funny to come across him in the later years, and he's a photographer, apparently a relatively well-known photographer too. A good, you know, pretty good photographer.
All right.
I always still got that mullet. No, he doesn't still have the mullet. That was the thing back then, though. Bosworth and all of them. Go ahead,
Scott. I had a part in the middle here with the mullet.
What's been some easy calories to get in during the off season in a daily meal plan? Easy calories.
Clean?
Well, it's gonna vary, right, per person, but how about for you? What's been something that's been easy calories that you can use in the off season?
Well, my every third day I've got my high carb days that it's just a giant, I mean it's all measured, but it's basically brown rice, black beans, avocado, goat cheese, chicken breast. I select from a couple garlic and oil-based salad dressings, and I have pumpkin seeds in there. Oh, and mango. And I just fucking eat it every – it's fucking crazy. Hmm. Each one is like 2,200 calories, and I eat at least three of them a day and have two other shakes. So I find it relatively easy to get them in because it's easier to do that than to skip load, because when I skip load, I'm so full that I, at least with these meals, these carb meals, they run through me quicker. They don't just sit in my gut like a burger would, or a large breakfast or a heavy breakfast, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So actually, on my skip load days, these days I only skip load every two, maybe 3 weeks, I take in less calories on my skip load than I do every third day on my high carb days.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
then how low do you have to go then? Like, are you really hungry then? Well, you're not, if you were dieting, you know, would you have to cut your food real low? I've always wondered that with your skip loading, you know, you're building that food up, but is it like then the food has to be low during the week to,
well, it just depends on if you're cutting or you're not cutting. I mean, there's just so many variables to it, but it's going to be interesting to see what I do with the carb days coming into this next year, because I'll start a cut phase in, you know, February finally.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with them yet, because right now my calories are so high. I don't know yet. I've been thinking about it, but I've still got a couple months to get it figured out.
Do you feel like because a while ago you were saying, I don't know, I might keep bulking because you hadn't tapped out yet. Do you feel like you're tapping out?
I don't know that I'm tapping out as much as I just cannot break. I'm finding it very difficult to get anything over this 230 mark. I'll get over it, and then everything comes back to 230. So it makes me think that because I've been here for a while. See, there's a lot of factors to consider though, because like I could keep pushing and I could probably grow a little more. But the truth is I'm not trying to be negative or pessimistic, but I mean, I turned 50 this year, and I don't want to make it sound like, gosh, I don't know if I'm going to die in 6 months or what, but you know, I've got 35 years of training behind me. I damn sure don't have that many in front of me. You know, it's pretty limited as far as like how many healthy years do I have where I can really productively still grow in my off season.
Yeah.
And that may not be, I mean, you know, that may be 2 years, that may be 5 years. I'd be lucky as fuck. I can't imagine coming up on 60 and still growing. I mean, come on. But I don't want to talk myself out of it because I didn't think I'd still be growing coming up on 50. But nonetheless, it's just not likely, put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, plus, you're probably not taking enough Anadrols, you know?
Yeah, well, apparently not, if 7 is the go-to. Yeah. Holy shit.
Well, when you turn in 50, you should probably stick with like 6. Keep it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's got to be a cap there somewhere.
Okay, I got a side question. I got this yesterday. You know, you guys were, I'm going back because you said Anadrol makes you, you know, some people, if you're already an asshole, you become a bigger asshole, you know, on gear. So yesterday, Victoria and I were driving to pick her sister up from the airport, and we did one of those things on Instagram, ask us anything while we're driving, and responded back. One guy said, I get really jealous when I'm on DECA. Just DECA. He's like
jealous of like his girlfriend or something.
That's, I guess, you know, like jealous. He suffers with jealousy, whatever it might be. Probably I'm guessing it's relationship related. He didn't say specifically, and my response was like, I really don't know. And Victoria said, well, like, is it all nandrolones or just DECA? You know, we didn't have an answer, and that's what we responded back basically. But then I had other people message me, and somebody who's it was Ron Partlow had messaged. He said, a guy that he works with has had that, just like saying, just he goes on DECA and he has like these crazy issues with, like, he gets into like, he, you know, he just wants to, he has relationship problems all of a sudden with just nandrolone, just DECA specifically.
Well, I mean, you're taking a hormone, an exogenous hormone. So yeah. You can alter your hormone balance. You can alter the serotonin, dopamine release in your brain, progesterone, estrogen, all kinds of stuff. I mean, I mean, it's just like being a dick. You know, it's like people say, oh, I take Tren or whatever, and I get real aggressive. Or it's not like your body goes, oh, I got Tren in me. I'm all of a sudden like going to turn green like David Banner and rip my clothes off. You know, there's something that's happening physiological and in your brain and caused by a hormone imbalance. I mean, if nandrolone could, it could, you know, obviously affect progesterone, but more likely estrogen could cause an increase in your estrogen lower. Can affect your brain chemistry. So, yeah, I mean, you're introducing an exogenous compound into your body. They just don't go blandly into your bloodstream. And that's, you know, that's being kind of general. But you're introducing a hormone in your body. It affects more than just your muscles and, you know, the receptors and you know, the content of just, you know, how much is in your blood. You know, it affects your brain chemistry too.
Thyroid, everything. The DECA does do something specific. It just, you talking about that, Scott, reminded me, because we had a guy a couple years ago ask a question for Dr. Scott. He was using, it was something stronger than your basic ADD drugs. It was like a legitimate, it was some type of hardcore speed amphetamine that they usually don't prescribe. And he had been hooked on this stuff at a pretty decent dose, but his doctor had been giving it to him. When he started running DECA, he couldn't maintain the same, like the drug no longer affected him the same. And I guess that DECA, so what we discovered, and I think Dave Crossland's talked about this before, is that DECA does interfere with your ability to uptake dopamine, something like that. Mm-hmm. So he had to actually increase his dose of this drug to get the same effect as when he was off of DECA.
So he was probably on, so there's two kinds of amphetamines prescribed. There's one that increases dopamine release, and there's one that increases the uptake.
Okay.
So he was probably on, why am I drawing a blank? Not Vyvanse. It's somebody's probably sitting listening to this going, he wasn't on Adderall. He was on.
It wasn't Adderall.
He was on, I can't think of the name because they probably still do. They Air Force pilots would take it.
Yeah.
And so, I can't name it. But anyway.
Yeah.
If you're going to impede the uptake of dopamine.
You're off screen, by the way, Scott.
Am I?
Yeah, other way.
This way?
Yep. There you go.
Oh. So it could impede it.
Okay, but this doesn't have anything to do with jealousy.
But I'm just saying, though. So if DECA, so if you ask yourself like, well, why DECA? I mean, now that doesn't answer this question, but it does tell us that, so a specific steroid does do this very specific thing to one specific hormone. You'd have to think that, I mean, it just goes to show when we say that everybody has a unique response, I'm saying that okay, so this is very unique. Whatever DECA does then, I'm sure that it's doing some other shit that's very unique. If some people are having these weird, this other guy, he said he was like, every time I go on DECA, I want to break up with my wife. He's like, I want to just dump her. He's like,
well, I know, but you can get mad at her because, I mean, hormones are going to make you more aggressive. That's just a mark of testosterone.
But it's just like a relationship thing with him. And then he comes he's back in love.
If you have no serotonin release, you're basically, I mean, it's part of depression. You know, I mean, you have no joy. And, you know, I don't know what that, you know, I'm not a brain guy. You know, I don't know all the answers. I'm not trying to say I know the answer to this, but if you're affecting the brain chemistry, you know, something can be altered in there that make you. I think the part he says about this guy feels like, you know, a certain way towards, let's say he had no female companion in his life and he took DECA, he probably would feel some disingenuous to something else, maybe his dog, I don't know, his coworkers, whatever, you know what I mean?
So yeah, that's just bizarre. That's and I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying that's something.
It was weird.
I've just not heard of anything like that before. I can understand even potentially depression. I mean, there are connections. I don't know that they're terribly strong, but there are connections between, or there can be, between depression and steroids or coming off of steroids. I get that. But, you know, I'm trying to figure out the jealousy thing. The jealousy is obviously an insecurity.
Yeah.
I think before anything else. So that's just an odd one for me, and I just, man, I don't know. I guess I've not heard of that before.
I've never had dealt with anybody say it to me, but I can see where that could happen. I wouldn't rule that out.
I mean, I could see depression forming a bit of an insecurity to where you have jealousy, but a specific compound. I mean, it's almost like if you're a jealous person, then. Or possessive, and I'm not picking on the guy who said, because I don't know him and I don't know what his issues are, baggage and stuff like that. And I say that because we all have baggage and we all have issues, me included, you guys. So I'm not saying he's, you know, like, oh my God, this guy's got issues. But we all do. So I don't know.
It's a weird one, man. And I asked, not expecting you to have like a solid answer. You know what I mean? It's because it is such a weird question. I just wanted to throw it out there. I bet you we get more people that are like, oh yeah, I get that too. You know?
Hey, I'm intrigued. I mean, I'm thinking, wow, I've not heard of that before. I'll check on that. See if, you know, there's anything back there that I just have never heard about.
I think guys named Scott are a little more in tune with people and how they feel. And Skip, that's why you're struggling with it.
You know, I'm really.
It's okay.
I think Scott doesn't appreciate you lumping him in with you, quite frankly.
We both have our equal components of Scottness. It's a whole other topic. We could have a whole show on Scottness.
I'm just going to sit over here in my skip zone and have no problem with it.
Sorry, Skip. We'll keep you around.
I've got a Scott question.
For you?
Masteron and Proviron compared to Masteron on how they work on estrogen.
This is a Skip and Scott battle question.
I think they're both way overrated with their effects on estrogen levels.
I would agree with that.
I think they're both way overhyped. I would say that for Byron. Okay, let me back up for a second. Okay, so you've got your blood. Okay, let's look at your blood as a bowl full of blood. If you start entering exogenous hormones into this bowl, it's going to depend on what level they're in there, how they react to the receptors, how the esters of those exogenous hormones in there. Yes, Proviron more than Masteron has been touted as an anti-estrogen, it doesn't prevent aromatase. It's just a dry compound that has a very small effect in that bowl of compounds. If you are taking a gram of testosterone cypionate, Proviron is not going to solve your problems. Okay. Now, if you're cutting and you're in a very cycle that's really low in aromatasing compounds, you know, you're in propionates and you got a sign on there. I don't know what that says. it's a small little play to that, you know, little helper, I should say. And I would say you'd be hard pressed if you're getting real Proviron anyway, or Masteron in this day and age. I don't think there's a lot of real drugs out there anymore, unless you're getting them from the pharmacy. There's a few I hear about, but I think you're getting something else anyway.
Dave Crossland's seen a lot of fakes. He sees a lot of the lab reports when the police bust sources and, you know, gear people over in the UK. He's seen, I mean, it is out there, but he said, especially like he said, the ones that are the worst perpetrators are the blends where it's supposed to be like test, trend, Masteron all in one vial. There's all sorts of stuff a lot of times other than Masteron in there. What do you think, Skip? Where do you disagree in any area there?
No, oddly, we don't. Where Scott and I typically disagree on Masteron and Proviron is I feel that Masteron and Proviron are very comparable in essentially in what they do. They're not the same compounds, but I feel that the two together are redundant. And I know that Scott, and I think people who listen to the podcast or have for a long time, know that Scott is very much like, if he had to pick one of those compounds, he would go with Proviron. And if I had to pick one, I would definitely go with Masteron, because I do like Masteron.
Right, I'm only taking, antigenic, but yeah, I mean, it's, Go ahead.
No. I think, in the SHBG, there's clearly, you know, the Proviron is a, like you said, if you can get real Proviron, but it's useful at the same time. And I think there's pretty much, I think we both agree, there's like little to no sides. I mean, you're not going to, it's not a compound that you have to go, oh gosh, I've been on it for a long time. I better
get off Proviron intake.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. My liver values have been elevated maybe 3 points.
Why are your eyes jaundiced, Skip? I don't know, man. This 5 megs of Proviron's killing me.
Well, I tell you, if you're going to take – it's legit, Proviron is not fucking cheap. And if you're going to take it for any length of time, you better get ready to pay damn good for it. So you probably don't want to take it any longer than you got to.
and that's like back – when there was real Anavar, the 2.5 milligram tabs. Do you remember those, Skip?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's been a long time ago. That shit was legit. And it was 2.5 milligrams. And then you start seeing all this UGL stuff coming out, it's like 50 milligrams. Yeah. Fuck, dude, you would never take 50 milligrams of that stuff.
Well, no, I would. D-ball I probably would have, but, you know, I mean, they had the little blue bottles of D-ball that were 5 milligrams. And I'm telling you, take three of them motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit, man.
Those that little Iranian cocksuckers.
Yeah, and they were tiny. I mean, the bottles, I wish I'd have kept the bottles, because, I mean, when I say they were like this, like, they were about the size of Scott's dick. Seriously. No, you can see that coming, I'm sure. But it's a tight. It was a very small bottle. It was the same color blue. The bottle was the same color blue, and it had a white cap, right? The white metal cap that would screw off the plastic bottle, and the blue on the outside where it said Diana bought was the same fucking color blue as the pills. But I'm talking.
I gotta tell you the story about this.
You get like 10 of them in your pocket at once because they were so small.
So when they first took. When the Berlin Wall came down, I was living in Europe. And you could drive into the DDR, so the East Germany. But you could only drive on like one road. And it sucked. The road was awful. But you could drive to Berlin. But so we're like cruising over there one day trying to drive fast. But the car's about to fall apart. And we noticed there was a pharmacy in this little shitty town. Because everything in East Germany looked like shit. So we're like, fuck it. We get off. Pull up. Go in there. Dude, American dollars were like gold. We're like, hey, we'll take some of that Iranian... Anitron, we're like pointing. They're just piling the shit up. It's like $20. Here you go. Out the door we go. Damn. With a freaking box full of shit like this big. And that stuff was legit.
But that's funny. That would have been the end of the 80s. And it was the 80s.
Early 90s. Had
that shit. Yeah. Well, the wall came down in 89.
Well, yeah, but they didn't. It did, but the whole. That whole Eastern Europe didn't clear out of the Russians and all the stuff for a couple of years. So they were still kind of shut down a little bit, but the roads were awful. But yeah, you could roll in there, dude. I mean, you could buy a tank from somebody for $20 probably. Nobody had any money. I mean, we'd like roll up on these dudes, these Russian dudes in their tanks, sitting on the side of the road. They didn't have any money. They weren't getting paid. They weren't getting fed. $5, man. You could buy anything you want. Literally, I think we could have drove off with a tank for $100.
Wow.
I mean, and all these stores, because they were under this communist system, you know, there's no capitalism. Nobody was making any money, dude. They would sell you. I mean, we loaded up. We hit it on the way back, another one. I mean, I'm talking like boxes full of gear for nothing. And this stuff was, a lot of it was Iranian, and it was badass.
Yeah.
You never told us these stories before.
I just never thought about it until now.
I know, that's because there's a lot of stories.
There's a lot of stories. I could tell you what happened when I was in Berlin, too. That's a whole other story.
We're about wrapping up here. Is it a show friendly story?
No.
Mind.
I'll tell you a little bit of it.
We better wrap it up.
I went over with a couple buddies of mine because we used to rodeo. They had a rodeo circuit.
What?
It was just something to do. Yeah, you know, we were in the service.
Okay. So we didn't know about this.
We ride over there. It was the national finals, the European finals. I mean, actually, man, the Germans will come out by the thousands for this shit. I mean, you talk about the guy that's got broke up, go to one of those things and get boozed up. You'll never remember that gal again because you'll have these little buckle bunnies all over you. But anyway, so we get there. And so a buddy of mine was telling me about this place in the English sector of Berlin. Anybody who's listening to this ever been there, they'll know it. And so there's this place called Moncherie's. It's like it's an entertainment establishment, let's just say. So we go up to it and we ring the little buzzer on the door. And this little slide thing comes open. And these eyes are in it. They're like, how many? We're like, 8. They're like, come back in 1 hour. The slide goes back over. So we go down to the corner to this little pub. And there's nobody in there. There's like a bartender or some chick. And there's like one dude over in the corner talking to some chick. Looks like she's dressed like a hooker. So we're just sitting there drinking. We're drinking. And I start pulling open the menu. And it's not beer selections. It's female selections. So we didn't want anything to do with the place. We were just going to drink a couple beers and go back to the other place. So a buddy of mine, he gets a lot of hand occasionally. He'd had a few drinks, and he's mouthing off to the bartender. So down comes this chick, you know, quote-unquote chick, sits down next to him. He's Eddie. His name's Eddie. He's pretty liquored up. And this chick is hitting on him all over him. And the chick is a dude. And we know it because we're not as hammered as him. And she's all over him and everything, and trying to get him to go upstairs. And Eddie's kind of loud. And I'm like, hey, Ed. He's like, fucking leave me alone. I'm picking up on this chick. I go, Ed, it's a dude. And he just freaks out. It's pretty funny. Anyway, we went to Mont Cherie's and got in more trouble later. Those were the days.
That was a classic right there. You know, I found that a lot of times, so a lot of people who are listening to the podcast, they listen all the way through. But with the video, they break it up into pieces. So this is right at the end of the show. I'm going to say that that's a golden nugget right there for all of our audio listeners that stuck through and heard the whole thing. But that's all we got. What do you guys got going on? Christmas is coming up here. This will come out actually like the day after Christmas. So it is our Christmas episode. This is we record this a couple days before. Thank you guys for reconvening. I was detained yesterday, so I was unavailable to do our podcast at our normal scheduled time. So thank you.
Where were you at?
I was in Toronto, actually. I was picking mm-hmm. up Victoria's sister from the airport.
Right. That's right. You text me.
Yes. Yes.
Skip didn't respond though to that text.
I didn't see it, apparently.
All right. Let's get out of here.
He's old.
Take us out.
For another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear with Skip Hill and S2H. Guys, you can go over to teamskip.com and reach out to Skip. It's the time of year. Time to start making some changes. Unless you just broke up with your girlfriend, then don't get a hold of Skip for a new training plan.
Don't bother me with that shit.
Yeah.
Call me.
All right, guys. We'll see you soon.